Welcome to Highway Diary. I'm your host, Eric Hollerbach. With me, a good buddy of mine, James Robert Wright. How you doing, man?
I've been better.
I was listening to you on the Vinny Eastwood Pet Podcast. I've been on that guy's podcast. I like that guy. He's a nice guy in New Zealand. And you were kind of giving some kind of desperate plea for your situation.
Yeah, because... It's pretty bad, you know. It has its cycles, but
you need a new place to live. The place you've been staying is running out.
Yeah, that's one major issue.
But you got, on the other hand, a job offer out of the blue.
Well, Rockefeller is calling me up and harassing me.
Yeah, so I also saw this Facebook thing where you were playing some voicemails of your dearest uncle, Michael Rockefeller, who's threatening you and saying he's going to kill you. And I don't know if you want to play any of those voicemails, but that might be fun for our listeners.
Yeah.
Did you give him a call back? Do you have any idea of what...
I have no desire to speak with him. I mean, I first took his phone call because I hadn't heard from him in over a year. So I was like, what is this? And he said that... I mean, he was really, really nice at first, and he said that he needed me to help him and his buddy Hiram Rothschild perform a ritual to Krishna. And I said, no, thank you. It doesn't sound like that's any of my business. And he began cussing me out. And now...
So just to be clear, like Hiram Rothschild, that's like Muslim version of Rothschild. And then like Michael Rockefeller, like is he... What's his bloodline?
First of all, Rockefeller's not a bloodline. Mm. They'd like to tell you it is, but that's their own climbing up social ladders thing in that aristocratic world.
So
the Rockefeller name doesn't date back. I'd have to look it up, but I think it's like 1786. It's not older than that.
Those are the new money people.
Yeah.
Not the real money.
Right.
Well, let's hear what Uncle Michael Rockefeller had to say to you.
It was a
job offer at first, and then it turned sour when you turned him down?
First of all, a job offer performing rituals for dark shit, that's not a job. Okay. But, well, maybe it is, but not for me.
Hey, James, you little faggot. You better give me a call back in 2 minutes. Otherwise, I'm going to make sure you're dead. I'll clip your toenails out. Okay? I'll behead you. I'll make you suffer. I'll burn you alive. And then I'll feed you to fucking pigs. Give me a call back in 2 minutes. Bye.
I like how he says bye at the end.
Yeah, well, at least he's formal, you know.
He's like, yo, rot. Yo, rot. You miserable faggot.
Hey, James.
Toodaloo.
It's been fucking 20 minutes. Your ass is toasted, man. If you can't see the light, you're going to feel the fucking heat.
Wait, play that again. Someone off his phone told him to say that.
2 minutes. Hey, James. In fucking 20 minutes. Your ass is toasted, man.
He's consulting.
If you can't see the light, you're gonna feel the fucking heat.
He's got some kind of handler with him telling him what to do. Like he's...
Maybe that's Rothschild.
Oh, Rothschild and Rockefeller are on speakerphone with?
I think they're lovers. Anyway...
James, I'm sorry I got angry at you. Let's talk like civilized adults. Call me back so we can talk. All right, buddy? I'll wait for your call. 856-66-97670.
Now, we've had some phone calls together. Did I ever leave you, like, that wide of a emotional berth?
You little fuck. You're going to be in a goddamn body bag. If you can't handle the light, then you're going to feel the heat. You're going to be put inside of a body bag and fed to fucking pigs. You better give me a call back, you little cocksucking piece of shit. Otherwise, I'm going to excommunicate your goddamn gay ass. Bye.
So, did you call him back when he had the sweet voicemail that was like...
Why would I call someone like that back? Sweet voice...
You need to give me a call back. I'm telling you.
He's sweet there. That's very bizarre, James.
Oh, you find that endearing?
Hey, call me back. Bye.
Bye.
No, that won't be happening.
Wow. I guess the summoning of the spirits game is like a rough game. You're dealing with rough characters. And what are they asking these spirits? They have to, like, they can't even finish a voicemail. He tried to do the same line, like, three times in different voicemails. If you don't see the light, you're going to feel the heat. Feel the heat, feel the light, or... Wait, what is...
Look, if I was
Rothschild
looking at...
say? I mean, they're so privileged. They're, like, retarded people.
Well, yeah, if I had to divorce myself from my own personal stake in this, if I was just dude walking down street, heard this, I mean, obviously the guy is unstable. Obviously the guy is not very literate, or at least not very well-spoken. Obviously...
But he's got perfect royal Rockefeller cum. What are you talking about? Everything he does with his worshipful master, I'm sure that's his
One, I think the title. Rockefeller family proper would disagree with that, that what he is. And
he's a love child baby?
Yeah, you know, someone had it off with the maid or something. I don't... Who knows? Who cares? And this is what resulted of that, you know, lovely person... And as it stands anyway, I mean, true genealogy, the Rockefellers aren't, you know, just because they did Standard Oil and made some money, that doesn't make them royal. It's not how it works.
Hmm. They're just the...
So they can't run around like the... Yeah. Them and the Rothschilds are obsessed with running around saying, oh, this is the house of Rockefeller, this is the house of... No, it's not how it works. You can't invent new... names and add them into the British House of Lords. That's not possible.
So they're just sucking up to the British House of Lords. England is at the top. The City of London is at the top of everything.
Yes.
Did America gain their freedom in the Revolutionary War from the British?
That's a matter of great scholarly debate. My personal opinion on it is no.
And why do you say that?
Because of a little thing called the Virginia Company. And that's what this is. And that's a holding of Her Majesty.
Hmm.
Like most of the world.
At the top of the Federal Reserve is owned by the Queen of England?
It is a company that is held by... I think it falls under the portfolio of Clarence House. If I'm not mistaken. But I might be.
So at the top of all the sovereign countries is just a bookkeeping of different houses of lords who really, behind the scenes, run everything. They program our minds with the Tabernacle Institute. Let me tell you something about American girls, all right? I'm brainwashed by propaganda, you know. All right. Sorry, I'm high. I'm trying to conduct a professional interview here.
See, I've been on the phone all morning with law enforcement, the local law enforcement where he... Oh, because by the way, there's that article of him threatening to burn down / blow up, whatever, a church, walking in, leaving a check for $666,000.
That doesn't sound like Michael Rockefeller that I know. All the voicemails he leaves you are, like, very reasonable. Just job offer with medical benefits... If you don't take the job, that's fine. I've sent you some paperwork, some start paperwork, with some salary information there.
Yeah, no. No. This guy first approaches me. Now remember, if you were following what happened a year ago, he... oh, my God.
Have some Dr. Pepper.
Yeah. He gets me up on the phone for his radio show... Because he wants to go on the soapbox about the Queen. Okay. Well, that was all, like, spur of the moment. Didn't know it was going to happen. And once it was in the throes of happening, I had no idea that it was going to turn crazy. And he was going to start... Because he was threatening the Queen and...
My grandfather, billionaire David Rockefeller... Well, to be honest, we hide our wealth. We own all the money in the world, more money than God, quadrillion trillions, but died when he was 100 years old. He was a grandson of John D. Rockefeller, who founded Standard Oil Company and became America's first billionaire. He was well known for his generous philanthropy and served our country in the army. He impacted many lives, and I'm sure he'll be greatly missed. His life and his longevity are a reminder that death eventually comes to all, regardless of wealth, fame, social status, good deeds, or family name. The important question is that will matter for every person when we pass from this life to eternity will be, what did you do with Jesus Christ? I am the head of the Grand Order of the Illuminati and the White Dragon Society and Triad, and I hereby am giving you protection from all of our brothers and sisters in all of these organizations. Kirk, have you heard of the Privy Council of United Kingdom?
Yes, I've heard of that.
Kirk, have you? Okay, Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth, Prince Charles, Camilla, Prince William are on there, and I am on there as well. Very, very powerful council, and from them I hereby command, and it is my wish that Princess Karina has the protection and no one fucks with her. So, and if they do, then I myself in no way have any intention to take any type of action that could cause anyone any inconvenience, especially nothing lethal.
All kinds of stuff, and I was just, like, blown away, like, oh my God, what the fuck is with this guy? And then after that, he was nice to me, without, you know, I want to invest in your company, I want to do all these wonderful things for you. Well, that never happened. And then he disappeared for a year, and I was just like, what a freak, you know? And then all of a sudden he surfaces at one of the worst times imaginable. And now I'm having to jack with all this. I don't like spending my entire mornings on the phone to the FBI and Department of Homeland Security and all this fucking shit, you know?
Well, it's like pretty clear evidence that he's threatening you. That we've just recorded, you know.
He's threatened a lot more than just me, but yeah, this is the latest greatest.
So it's a pretty open and shut case if you want to just talk harassment sort of lawsuits with restraining orders. And I mean, then when you get into the bloodline and it's almost like sibling rivalry. What House of Lords gets the lord over the surface monkeys? Listen, I'm from the House of Gibraltar. I won a poker match against Queen Beatrix last night, and I won the Balkans. Like, what are going on with these people?
That is pretty much how it is.
Now, the surface monkey PhDs are getting worse. The doctors are getting dumber. They will give less effective cures and medication while we go underground with laser beam technology. That makes my femur strong again. I can power lift. You know what I mean? Just like there's levels of technology. I promise you, elite at the top, if you invest in the biodiversity of the peasants below you, you'll be really surprised how much smarter they are than you. Just look at the GI Bill. Okay, you give a bunch of hicks, farmers, an education, and all of a sudden they start studying way more than you. I think that's what the top has to realize. You're fucking lazy. If, like, privilege, getting good service is the opposite of ambition, and you've really lost your way of how to run the planet. You're kind of incompetent, inbred bloodlines. What's with the bloodlines?
What's behind everything? And I'm a product of that. But as that, I am here to tell you that it's, I think they're disheveled more so right now than in any time before, because monarchy was really able to mesh well with and help control the birth of, oh, you okay?
Yeah.
Of representative democracy such as the United States. But moving forward, we're coming into an age where more and more we're seeing a push, especially with like millennials and everything, that we're probably going to head toward a direct democracy, because we never lived in such a time when people are so educated and well-read and did the internet and blah, blah. And so as we do that as a civilization, their role as this royal family of monarchs becomes less and less and less and less relevant. Perhaps that was a business model that worked well for one time. There's lots of evidence to suggest that it did work well, but it's not anymore. And the longer it goes on, the sillier and more irrelevant it is. I mean, because it's more... I think you could argue that the Kardashians do more than the royal family. Seriously. Right. And yeah, they go through military shit and blah,
just because it's kids, like they have to go to parties and appearances and do TV interviews. So when you get... That's like...
Yeah, but how many did...
Put more shit in your ass?
What they do... The few interviews that they do, seldom, hardly ever, and the few times they actually engage with the public... It's all private stuff. It's all private highbrow, highgrove parties. And that's completely different. Hollywood is a job. So the people like the Kardashians, they may be brain dead, whatever, and why do we follow them? But it doesn't matter because they're still out pounding studio floor pavement, proverbial, you know, every day filming, doing its work. It's theatrical work. So... At least they're earning something in that equation. Yeah. Why do the American taxpayers do not fund the Kardashians? Now imagine that for a moment.
They're sponsored by Subway commercials or whatever happens during the reality show.
Well, great, and we have our power to, you know, like Subway took a dip when we found out what Jared was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay, so that people can vote with their dollar on corporate crap, but. That's a whole side issue. This is...
I was skeptical...
The relevance of monarchy.
I was skeptical when a foot-long sub came with a 3-inch. I was really skeptical at that promotion that there was something behind the scene. Never mind. That joke.
Well, no, I mean, just think of that. Take that into perspective. What if our tax dollars paid for castles in Calabasas for the royal Kardashians? Just imagine that craziness. Well, that is what they still live under there.
All their servants. Man, you know, I'm really thinking, like, what the perfect situation for me would be. And it would just be a lovely house where I would go grocery shopping. I would cook for myself and have... But they can't even do that. Imagine, they can't even cook. They can't feed themselves. You know what I mean?
Good, I'll be glad to teach them. They can buy me a fucking villa in Capri.
I told you my friend Muhammad, his friends Lion ate the housekeeper. You know what I'm saying?
Lion ate the house.
Because it had lions and it went out the wrong door, the housekeeper, and she went, adios mio. And she dropped the tray, right? And she ran, you know? And then the lion jumped and cut her throat out and ate her throat, right? And then the guys were like, red lion, you know? And then the cops come and they're like, oh, well, she ran. All right, so from now on, lock that door and lock that door, or you get the fine. Or, okay, goodbye. I guess bury her over there, the dumb bitch, she ran. I don't know, what do you want from me? And that's how the police investigation started and finished. And, you know, a life was taken by an animal that someone has no personality, so he gets a cat to have this affectation. You know what I mean? As a show of symbol of fertility. As some weird guy in Dubai, you know, he turned 42 years old and his dick stopped working, so he got a lion in his backyard.
Well, I don't know, it seems to me that something's got to give with this shit, you know. And I'm not saying that, you know, we need to, like, put them all up on war crimes and then in front of a firing squad. But what I am saying is that...
Let's have the trial.
Yeah, no. Let's just have a greater wake up to common sense and move forward in a way that's constructive for the people and not this ridiculous soap opera that plays out behind the scenes.
All right, let's take a break. So, I saw, you know, you can watch a lot of different whistleblowers on YouTube, including all Project Camelot stuff. And I came across this old video who said that this guy, he said he was a Satanist for a long time, and he developed spirits, and they helped him win a lot of money just betting on horse races. He came every Sunday, and the spirits told him what horse to bet on, and he bet on that, and he became a millionaire doing that. But then he got in big trouble because the owner of the place, every time, saw him going to collect his money.
Everybody said, "I can't believe it. Some guy were knocking their fist on the counter, you know, because they said, this horse is totally worthless. He shouldn't have been in this race, and then he wins. You know, and so I was listening to these guys, and I said, boy, so you know what happened? When I came back there the following week, well, yes, I left out of there with a bundle of money in my pocket. I went down to the St. Catherine Street. I went to one of the fine men's stores, and I bought myself a $200 suit.
That's a lot of money back then.
In those days, in 1946. Yeah. God, a bundle of money. So anyway, I came back the next week, and the man in the cage says, "You're Roger." I said, "Yes," as I was putting some money down. He said, "The boss would really like to see you."
The bookie boss?
Yeah, the boss, okay. The owner of the operation. And he says, "You go to that door right over there." I said, "Okay." So he gives me my tickets, and I go in there and knock. "Come on in." You know, it was all in French, of course. "Uh-huh." "Entrez, monsieur." Oh, then he sees me. "Oh, you're the guy, you're Roger." I says, "Yeah." "Come here," he says, "sit down right there in front of my desk." He got up, and he walked around, make a big circle around me, look at me, sat back again, and he says, "You don't look like a winner. You don't look like a guy, you don't look like a man that knows anything about horses." Well, I said, "I don't. I just happen to be lucky." He said, "I'll tell you what, I don't know where you're getting your information, okay? But we don't like it here anymore. You're taking too much of our nice money. So I'll tell you what, the next time that you're in here, I'll let some of my goons after you, and you'll put a bullet right up there, man, and I won't have you around here again. Now, if you want the address and names of different bookies in Montreal, I'll give you a whole list of them." I said, "No, it's not necessary, sir. I won't come back." So that was the beginning.
He knew you had inside information. He just didn't know how inside it was. Right?
So the pressure mounted to be initiated.
And I wonder if some people have access to higher realms, are able to communicate with these ascended masters easily, these ethereal beings in other dimensions, like 72 spirits of, say, an Akashic record or something like that. They get to talk to all of them.
Yeah. Well, it's like when they talk about junk DNA. I mean, it's going to come down to things in your DNA that are either there or not, and on or off or not.
On or off. What does that mean? Aspects of your potential that can be activated with magical ritual.
Are I's dotted and T's crossed? I mean, I don't know.
You just go through the book. Okay, so the lizard bloodline goes this way. Then these are the ones that have the bloodlines. These are the ones that threw in all those magical rituals given to us by extraterrestrials to the hidden fabric of magic of the universe, which was sewn together by our creators. And these,
well, I don't know. I mean,
lizards who live
underground. The extraterrestrial thing into perspective. I mean, if you read the Dead Sea Scrolls very carefully, it says that, you know, many, many references to taking little silver metallic ramps up to ships that took off and the earth from below my feet and blah, blah. And yeah, it seems to be what that Vatican wanted out, the Bible, the Council of Nicaea.
Who were the rulers who edited the Roman Catholic Bible that comes out the Vatican?
A bunch of jackals.
There's a lot of Catholic church all throughout America. I went to St. Mark's in Long Valley, New Jersey. I was a Catholic confirmed through there, you know?
I grew up Catholic too, but it was
it's a
more
franchise.
Like, it was, well, for us it was more like, what do we just say when people ask us what the hell we are around town, but, you know, and then go to midnight mass on Christmas and stupid.
Or are they the people that own KFC and Taco Bell too, or are they different? Or
who? What?
It just seems like Catholicism is an international franchise owned by few bankers that also own KFCs and Taco Bells.
Well, yeah, again, like monarchy, it was a business model that arguably worked for one time, but that time, I would say, was very short-lived, and what's been there ever since is really dark stuff.
Where did this obsession with Satanism come from? Was it just the religion of the Illuminati? You were saying that the 13 houses.
I mean, maybe to some of them they look at it that way, depending on the person, how stupid they are. I don't look at it. I look at it like just how far down does little Palpatine go toward the dark side. You know, that's what it they act like.
Yeah.
So, and that seems to be what it's about, is control and, you know, an empire, a bloodline-based monarchy empire thing, the British Empire, you know. So,
where does the transhumanism come in?
I think
whatever happened to competition, like actual social Darwinism, which seems that they think that, oh, we're the winners of Darwinism. We have all the fucking money. We do it. We do anything we want. We're the smartest. We're the whatever. But there seems to be no competition to see if there was not a rigged system, but a real system of meritocratic rise. You might see very different people than, you know, wealthy, inbred, 13 bloodline family offspring. Well, I don't know. I just want to know. I got 4.0 in grad school. I'm pissed off that I don't have a lot of money right now, you know?
Yeah, no, I think it's really wrong that the world is in the state it's in, and that, you know, because this has been done to it, because even the Toys R Us thing, what a horrible thing to see happen to that poor store. What an iconic childhood memory. And, you know,
well, did the employees get a pension or the CEO get a golden parachute?
Oh, of course, it's all going to go to the top. And the whole reason they're in trouble in the first place is because the debt they're in from the big sell-off that happened back in, you know, what was that, 15 years ago?
08?
And so they've been obligated to pay, like, what is it, $400 million a year toward those debts that a bunch of bankers stuck them with that they'd had no choice in. It just, like, happened to them. And it's
no,
really,
but then how you get
up
money is you plump and dump it, you liquidate the assets, and that'll give us the long-term growth in America. No, you just...
Are we
see,
going
I like,
over here?
Yeah, I guess maybe. Or we can go this way. It seems like it would be a little better for you.
Noisy.
Yeah, just for a moment, though. All right, let's go back. But it's like, what I was thinking about, I think about Monopoly all the time, because it's like, you know, you're playing Monopoly, you go around the course, you get Boardwalk, you get Park Place, then you just take your mom's money until she's bankrupt.
Yeah.
And like, your mom gave you birth. She fed you. You know, then you're 13 years old and you're like, pay up, bitch. All right, mortgage all your shit then. Give me the fucking money, bitch, now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and then one person gets all the money and then everybody else goes homeless. It's like, what if you just win the system, though? What if you broke the system?
That should probably be banned and discontinued, because that's a very strong programming tool, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So... Maybe not. Maybe it's kind of fallen out of popularity nowadays. It's not really relevant now. I mean, what kid wants to sit and play a board game, right?
Video games, man. 3D anime porn simulators, bro. You just plug in and go to Fantasyland until the Adderall addiction turns into a cocaine addiction and you fail at an undergrad and then you punch your girlfriend.
Oh,
we've
fine.
Seen it.
I'm fine with the little Nintendo Classic. You don't need anything more than that.
Are you worried for your safety?
Well, of course. What do you want me to say to that? Or what? Gee, no, you know.
Do you think that they're responsible for your boyfriend's death? Do you think that they were trying to trigger a series of events that brought you back to where you were doing rituals?
I don't know. I don't know. Were you made in a lab to be a magician? Were you built for the purpose?
I think everything of this profile is, yeah, in one way or another.
Because you were raised in the Masonic halls and country clubs.
Yes.
Were you in Demolay?
No, I was not in Demolay. Interestingly, my grandmother didn't want me around them then.
Did Demolay just turn into a pedo club?
Well, I know it is. There was a big scandal that erupted out of there in the 80s. Perhaps that's why she didn't want me there. In Dallas, I mean. But, yeah.
And then they're like, no, we cleaned that up. Well, send the boys.
Well, I'll tell you what. Everything that they cleaned up, they deposited in the building across from the one at 500 Harwood Street in downtown Dallas. It's on Young Street. It looks like an abandoned building, but their logo's above the door, and it's not. And all that evidence and everything's in there. And they say you can't go in there because asbestos and blah, blah, blah. You can go in there.
I was looking at, like, a lot of the Pizzagate research, and they have, like, a some weird part of a warehouse building and this and that, and people followed this whole trail, and they come to this kill room, what seems to be a kill room.
Kill room. I don't know.
Do some of the spirits only come out if there's been a sacrifice? Is that a requirement of their arrival?
I think everything they think they know about what they are doing is largely erroneous.
What do you mean?
Well, because most of the players right now are not bloodline. There are those ones that are, but then there's those ones that aren't. And if they aren't, then they stand no chance of ever having something occur of a magical ritual effect with them doing it, because it's...
So you're saying you can just go through the book and do the rituals, but the right things aren't going to happen if the right blood isn't in the room to evoke. But blood in the room can be a bloodline Illuminati member, but okay, it can also be blood in the room.
In this analogy, I'm saying it would be like if a time traveler from 1950 came here today with their television set and tried to watch TV here today with it, they couldn't.
Right. We don't broadcast the signal
All they would
anymore.
Get is black and white photos.
That's right. It's digital now.
Right. So you could make that analogy. It's irrelevant for them to bring themselves into a situation where they can't tune in to the broadcast.
Is that because there's too much Wi-Fi? It's like, Bill, turn your cell phone off. The djinn isn't manifesting through our magic box. Wi-Fi...
It flat out is not in their genetic profile. So they're trying to get into a room and play in that they're not fit to be in. And somehow, I guess you could attribute that to big money and stupid shit that they have.
So they got into the club with their money. They paid the dues and got in the club. But the club ain't for them.
Yeah, no. They could never hope to be that and impress them truly. No. It's either you are or you aren't. It's that simple with those people. So, and if they think that all of this highbrow brown nosing is getting them somewhere, it's all such a facade. If they really think that's what they need to throw their lives away in pursuit for, that's really sad. Because it's all a sham for them. They being the Illuminati people that run around thinking they're going to get something out of this. So. You know, what do I get out of it? Nothing. Fucking torture and bullshit. You know, I'm just... somehow in all this, I got branded the little bad boy of the lodge. So... the way I see it is...
Was it just the levels of abuse were just
you know, physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, that you just, you know.
Yeah, it's all of that combined. It's good, you know, it's going back a long way in other stuff that's loosely tied in. But, so I'm just like, you know, okay, fine. Well, I'll own it and I'll just go out and do outrageous shit because, I mean, I really think there has to be someone that does it from that environment. You know, go shake it up and make them have to rethink the wheel. The Masons especially, I mean, because that's something in the here and now that can change, like, quicker than you think. Especially with those charters and the Templars and all that assistance.
So what you're alluding to is that you hold charters to
Templars hold charters.
Set up the official lodge of the Templars in the United States. And could you invite...
the Templar management in Europe is very angry that they have been sort of disregarded over the years in America in favor of the Scottish Rite, you see. It's kind of coming down to something like that. So, Scottish Rite's fucked. And I think they know and realize, and I think they're panicking because I see them making panic moves and being dodgy in ways that they don't even need to be or have to be, but, you know, that's their nature, so I get it. So...
I wonder if, like, certain texts like this, like the Golden Dawn text, or if you look at the text of Crowley or something, if you go through all that material, or L. Ron Hubbard, certainly you go through all that material, it's going to put you in the same kind of mindset, right? So if a bunch of people are, like, programmed very passionately to a certain mindset of a certain literature... They're going to really, I don't know, there might be side effects.
Well, speaking from that plethora of platforms there, I think people would be well advised to take all that stuff with a grain of salt after all the people behind the Golden Dawn and the people behind the OTO and Crowley and all these various movements with your L. Ron and your all of them. Certainly, you know, look into what they did. You can absolutely read their perspective on it, but that's all it is. It's a perspective. Do not treat these people as prophets or messiahs. And that's where some of these people, they get into it, you know, really get off track.
Was L. Ron a high-level Mason and OTO member, and then he went and just interpreted it for himself?
Oh, well, no, it's worse than that.
So how far in the deep state was L. Ron?
I would say pretty far. I don't know specifically.
Go back this way.
Sure. Rephrase.
L. Ron Hubbard. How far in the deep state was he before he created Scientology?
No, what you said right before it. Because of the blah, 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 blah. Oh, yeah, it was a joke. It was all a joke to them. In private rooms behind closed doors, it was all a ha-ha funny LOL joke. You just start a religion, and that's the biggest way to make money. I mean, never mind Silicon Valley, never mind doing a tech startup. If you start a religion and it takes off, then, oh my God, billions and billions and billions. And that's what they all did. And you need to bear that in mind. I'll also let you know, oh, Aleister Crowley was such a badass. Really? As I see it, he was a Victorian trust fund baby who had a really nasty heroin habit. And I have experience with those types and not impressed. Just saying.
Did you get a job at the EU directly from your Scottish Rite experience and the success you had?
No. That had to do with Nicholas Sevier.
He was your mentor.
Yes.
Is he still with us, Mr. Devere?
I believe he's dead. That's all.
What kind of circumstances?
Oh, you never heard about all that?
Well, I'm asking.
Oh, right.
We're doing a podcast.
Right,
now.
Right. He was found dead in his kitchen in his home in Wales in 26 February 2013. And there's a lot of things that have not been accounted for about it, but...
who do you think did it?
He had a lot of enemies, man. I don't know. It's kind of hard to whittle it down.
Was he
honestly
a Templar
yes.
hero?
Yes.
And did his death kind of trigger a series of incidents where...
his death triggered a lot
of
incidents.
Was that in 2012?
I wasn't even prepared for that. That was weird. And it was, to make it even more bizarre, it was the night I arrived in Hollywood, having moved here from Texas, at the behest of a book publisher who I later found out was CIA and a pedophile. It just...
Hey, boy, no, we cleaned up Boys Town. Said no, camp will be starting. Listen to me, bitch. Camp will send the kid and the check. That was a rumor. All right, I'm sorry. So the publisher, the series of incidents around the death of your friend.
Well, I mean, you know, tensions were high. He had lots of big things pending, you know, at the EU and the UN and with various secret societies. And it was all going to be for really good stuff, you know, pushing for this sort of, like, new
deal for the public?
Well, new progressive way forward for the kids, more like, you know? Because I was a kid in it, and that was what the whole point was, is, you know, oh my God, this stuff is ghastly, so we've got to endeavor to change it for the better, for the right. And then, oh no, 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 can't let him do that.
So then you're saying at that point, the Scottish Rite coup d'etat, the last straw of the Templar hold of the order structurally.
Well, it's nothing that's been an official bombshell. That's the thing. All this has been done in the dark. So they won't tell the average walkabout Mason that, oh, by the way, we've really pissed off the York Rite. You know, the York Rite, oh, that, wait, no, we didn't tell you. That's who runs the Blue Lodge. That's where this ultimately goes to.
And so they got their own buildings. They went, we don't want to be around the Blue Lodge anymore. We're going to get a Scottish Rite building. You fucking handle the profane surface monkeys that come in, the retired professor who wants coursework in the occult. You bring in those idiots, you give them Miller Lite and keep them at Master Mason for their whole life. They'll get out of parking tickets and they won't complain. Their pension will be fine. The other teachers in his apartment, maybe not so much. Maybe we can handle something like that for him.
Actually, that's a pretty good summing up. Yeah.
But that's it. They got their own building, man. And that's when we visited the Hollywood Lodge. I was like, who does the Scottish Rite here? Well, oh, no, this is just the Blue Lodge. Okay, so then the people that ascend your group definitely go to another group. So then this group is stagnant. So then I'm out. If there's not a university that all has one building with the doctors and the undergrads together...
Yeah, that's a really good point.
The PhDs never get called on their bullshit.
This is what the uppity-ups can't comprehend about the streets, because they
remove themselves from society financially as well. When you're a billionaire, you don't, you just push paper. You don't push fields. You don't make anything. You just, you know, rule everybody around you with debt payments and...
Ah, well.
Pull up the ladder.
I have a song for them, Depeche Mode, Walking in My Shoes. They should try that. They're not capable. So, and that's why I'm kept in the position I'm in, which sucks and makes me really fucking pissed off, but that's beside the point.
Well, we can be like the Underground Railroad of the Revolution, man. Just gotta get that Dulcy shit on Netflix. Anyway, let me just talk about Dulcy real quick, can I?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I sent out a new draft to a bunch of agents and managers. I'm trying to get them to read it, but I redid just the pilot and a
3X structure. So if you own a TV network with some big bucks, let me tell you something. I wrote a sci-fi drama, and my occult consultant is the guy the Illuminati is trying to get their hands on every day with disturbing phone calls. Some sweet, then a mean one, then a sweet one. You got to get the dichotomy.
See how I've explained this in the past, that it's like a sick divorce scenario?
But that's
do you
why,
see that element of
that's
it?
Why the Masonic Hall has a white and black checkerboard. You got to keep your friends guessing. You dumb faggot cocksucker. Listen, call me back. There's a benefits. Look, I'm sorry I was mean before. This is Michael Rockefeller. Bye-bye. Listen, you dumb cocksucker. I'm going to kill you. This is Michael Rockefeller. Bye-bye. Salutations. He's very formal in the end of his, even the most threatening voicemails. Anyway, my military consultant is my friend Damien A.J. Bostian, who does not believe in any conspiracies whatsoever. He would, if he tried to listen to this, immediately tune it off, say that everything you said that we've been talking about has been complete bullshit. So that's fun. What else? I'll also be recording 3 stand-up specials in the same road trip. I've decided people don't have the attention span to watch an hour-long special anymore. With one curtain, just a special, one curtain, one guy, an hour. So I'm going to do 3 20-minute specials. So if you're cruising Netflix, you know, oh, 20 minutes, a comedy thing, I'll do that. So there'll be like one sketch each and stand-up that I'm going to film from Los Angeles to Vegas to Denver, New Orleans, my lovely city that I miss very much, up to New York City. So that's going to be, details about that are going to be coming out sometime soon. So anyway.
I wish I could.
Giving you some updates. And
like that sounds like a lot of fun.
Well, James Robert Wright, he needs a home right now. So what can we say about that? Or a job offer that does not involve summoning demons with the bastard children.
I don't think that's
of
helping
Rothschild
much.
And Rockefeller.
I don't think that's helping much on a resume. Previous experience, well.
Summon ghosts.
It's like that scene from the Addams Family when Morticia goes to apply for a job. What did you study? Spells and hexes? Oh, liberal arts, yeah.
So what about the Holiday Inn? Do you think you can get a job at a desk receptionist? You know, you rented out the Masonic Hall and summon spirits in it. Like for bar mitzvahs or whatever, you know?
Yeah. $5,000 will get you a possession. Yeah, no. I have lots of... You know the stuff I do. I'm great. I'm a seasoned theatrical professional. You know.
Which helps your journalism skills.
Oh, yes. Yes, I very much enjoy that.
Crusade Media.
Crusademedia.org, yes. Yes.
We were at the Conscious... Have we talked about this on the podcast? The Conscious Life Expo?
The Conscious Life train wreck.
What was that like?
Disappointing. Well, one, maybe I'm being extra glum about it because I had multiple friends who... used to be participants, speakers, what have you, in Conscious Life Expo that died this last year. It affected me because I was like, you know, like Dennis Watts. I mean, my God, how many times did I interview him? And he was a Rosicrucian, by the way, so he got it. Quantum physicist dude from NASA JPL passed. And, you know, it's really sad because he died of cancer and there went a library, and he was working on a Fukushima remediation thing, and so
you think he was speaking out about Fukushima and got axed?
I have no idea. I just know that it all happened very fast. So, you know, it's been a sad year. You know, it's
and your fiance's death. Or your boyfriend?
Boyfriend. We were not engaged.
Oh, okay.
We were living together, but we were not engaged.
Let's sit on this bench over here. So So, like, yeah, when you would go and have a speaker that you had interviewed multiple times, it was like, oh, that's my friend. Let me watch their talk, get free stuff. I'm hanging out with the big shot of this group. But well, now I was in a sauna chair.
And so I have, you know, free reign to run around the whole thing. And
they didn't have the press pass waiting for you ready? Well, you're James Robert Wright.
It doesn't matter.
Summoning ghosts in the Scottish Rite
Building. And I talked with the head lady, who was very nice, and it all it happened, didn't it? So, I just, you know, with respect to the event, because it's a good event, but it seems to me that it's been kind of going down. And I'm sorry, but you cannot pay me to sit there and show respect to people like David Wilcock and half a dozen others that I really think pollute that show with crap.
So you think Gaia is the Gaia Consciousness Network kind of a filtering of the public?
Like, I don't trust it. You want me to tell you why?
An electronic filtering instead of the Masonic calls because nobody's going to there anymore?
Maybe this will get me in trouble. The reason why I don't trust the network Gaia is because there are people tied in with it who are very sinister. And I'll give you a name. Sean Stone. He's in bed with Mahal Rockefeller. So.
I didn't hear him on the phone yelling at you, though.
But no.
If he does.
But he knows Mahal, and I think he... Someone needs to wise up, Brother Stone. Wise up to what's around you. Don't be a cunty hunty for the munty.
Can you translate that? Is that lizard speak?
No, that's gay speak.
Oh,
yeah.
Did you have a death in the family recently, and do you think that people in your family are dying in order of inheriting the bulk of the family fortune?
Yes. It's, it defies logic, the family that raised me, how all these situations that have unfolded in our past, and the horrible things that have gone on at the house... in Preston Hollow in Dallas, that the authorities never question it. It's always like, nothing to see here, turn around. And, you know, the funeral car just comes and picks her up and off we go, done. And it's just, who does it? It's weird. This is not normal. These are neon signs flashing. This is not normal.
So when the coroner, the town coroner, is Mason and you're all doing rituals in a hall together, you just call up and say, hey, yeah, I told you, the next one drop, come pick it up. The next one drop, come pick it up.
Well, they know what house it is. So they're like, oh, yeah. I mean, because those were arrangements that was made with granddaddy. So, yeah, that's why. Why do you think those... assholes are too... They're inept to leave their mother's house. They're inept to leave the city of Dallas because they think that, you know, their royalty there or something. Well, I don't think there's anybody much left that even remembers that, because that was... That ended in, like, the late 80s, pretty much. It's when...
What do you mean, the royalty? There was an...
Oh, just their hold over big business in town. That's when all that started. You know, that's when that faded. Yeah. So the interactions with lodges and things like that would have dwindled at that point. And no, I don't think any of them wanted... I don't think any Masons particularly around town wanted anything specifically to do with my family, because they've got a reputation for being fucking nuts. I mean, they're crazy. There's, you know, a couple exceptions, and I feel really bad for them, but...
So they're just letting... The police are just letting them kill each other off? They just don't have an interest?
No, there's an old rule in Dallas that those families they're playing with all that, it's hands off. You know, look but don't touch, you know. And don't repeat it. And yeah, it's just a shit show. It's like the show Dallas in the 80s.
What would
it's
happen like if one of your family members accused another one of your family members for murdering over inheritance and filed a complaint of murder? What would happen? Would that get to a judge? Would that case be seen?
No. You're talking about a family that has demonstrated a continued meddling in official county documents and having things shredded, having things changed.
So whatever ends up on the books, they'll just go in the back room and change the books.
They know the constable downtown in the federal building. And my aunt's kids went to school with him. His last name is Pappas.
Mm. This reminds me of a court case where Alfred Lambert Weber, he interviewed someone called Charlie Seven, who won a lawsuit against a group, entertainment group, who stole everything she's ever done and made a lot of money on it, and then started terrorizing her and their own tabloids and stuff. She won the case, and then they killed the judge, and they changed the documents in the back room.
Hmm.
Which makes me very worried when I send a screenplay around town, that if I do win the game, if I beat the game, if I get something through because it's really well written and I worked 3 fucking years on it, 2 years in grad school, this project called Dulcie, that's the best sci-fi TV show of all time. But anyway, if I win the game and get through, is the judge going to award me all the money and then get murdered and the books changed?
No.
What's changing? Is their power falling apart?
But more importantly, they don't know what the fuck's going on.
What's going on? What are their threats?
No. I mean, in the sense of they don't know what's going. Like, usually they know everything, and they know, oh, this is going to happen, and this is going to happen. They can't. They're winging it, I think, at this point with a lot of stuff. It's
the population's at 8 billion. They need 500 million to control all these fucking surface monkeys with a chip or whatever.
Well, there's been a lot of unpredicted things that have happened. Unprecedented things. Things that have never happened before, that they've never dealt with before.
They thought Hillary was going to be the president?
That's one thing on one level, yeah.
If Hillary became the president, they would have much less problems.
I mean,
the deep state and the shadow government.
The Democratic Party would be imploding, and if she won, and you'd be witnessing that, she'd be at war with her own party
because Bernie would have been.
And everybody, look at the West Coast, man. We're jilted. Come on.
Do you think Bernie's going to run again in the next election? Do you think that matters?
I don't know, but I think he'll greatly influence it if he doesn't. I think he'll stick around, hang out, and pep up the crowd, and yeah, hopefully.
He needs a chiropractor.
Well, yeah.
Maybe some traditional herbal tea or something. a therapeutic massage. He's a little hunched over. But he could do it if he changes his diet a little bit.
No, what he needs is to not have Hillary thugs threatening him. That's what he needs.
Have you seen his wife, though? What, you know, him and Ron Paul have, like, no offense, but, like, the doggest-looking wives, you know what I mean? They're the two presidents that really, candidates that really stick to their principles. I always look at their wife and I go, woof, all right, let's elect this guy.
That's this is a Larry David thing in a Curb Your Enthusiasm, yeah. I like you. You're hired to be my accountant.
There's something to that. And he lives in, like, a $300,000 house. He's good. It's probably worth, like, $480 now, but it's, like, you know what I mean? You can't get a house in Malibu and near the Converse estate for $300,000.
Oh, I don't know about it. Yeah.
Ooh. Can we talk about Eli?
No, let's not. Okay. There's no point. There's no point. That's a whole other world of shit. You know, I mean, my situation is a fucking train wreck. Worse than ever. I don't know what to do. What do I do? And look at what I have to deal with in a fucking day. You know? How am I supposed to better structure my day when I've got to spend it on the phone with
the FBI?
And Homeland Security.
And then the FBI tells you to call Homeland Security.
And sheriff's departments on the East Coast. And what? Really?
Okay. I hate to do that. I started getting threatening emails from a guest I had. And I had to find their local police and just report the threat. And then they stopped. I didn't get any more emails. But it's like, you just have to report it, you know? Because then if you get murdered, then the cops are like, okay, we know exactly what happened. Yeah, the coroner van is waiting. Oh, she was next to inherit? Yeah, the coroner van is waiting.
Well, I don't know why. I explained part of the reason why, but ultimately, because that's just, ew, it's so sick. It's like, oh, yeah. I'm going to fucking kill you in this grotesque way. Here's how. And then...
I'm going to pull your toenails out. I'm going to pull your face off, you dumb faggot.
Yeah. Please call me back.
Look, I'm sorry. Look, I was fucked up. I'm sorry I was angry with New. Now we can reconcile that argument. I'm sorry for that. Okay, call me back. How do you think the phone call's going to go if he wants you to summon a ghost? How is he supposed to talk? More level? He's asking you to summon ghosts with him.
No, entities, and the answer is no, I don't care. Don't care. It's not my business. That's what I told him. I said, why is this my business?
So you used to summon entities all the time, and now it's not interesting for you anymore? You don't want to do it?
Oh, I find it very interesting, but I don't do it. And I'm most certainly not doing it for them. Are you... Oh, yeah. Because why? Why? You in all your shit, your money... And you're whatever, you've got to call and harass me to do what? Really? So who needs who? I don't need them. I don't want them in my life because my life doesn't get better having them in it. It's just more of that. What you hear in those, that was daily conversation at the Scottish Rite building for me. Fucking faggot, rah, 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 die. Then, please do this, please do that. It's sick. I can't live like that.
Because they're in some weird satanic cult. And then demons fill them up.
Yeah.
Then run them wild.
I think their own ego fills them up and it boils over. I think that's what most...
But what I was saying is they get programmed by the literature. And their egos get out of control.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen hissy fits like that before. When I got
you were
banned.
Seeing Kitty Claws at Hollywood Lodge. Shit.
Yeah. I also got banned from the Hi-Ho before. That's a stand-up venue in New Orleans. Anyway, if you're interested, listen to episode 133. It has not been torn down yet. It's weird in your situation. Looking at it from a, you know, we've been hanging out since I've moved back here like 6 months or something. After the first time I called you was from... in New Orleans from my dorm room where you did my podcast very graciously and you were like, hey, when you come to Los Angeles, let's smoke a doobie. And I was like, hell yeah. So as soon as I came here, I called you up. I was like, yeah, I got weed. Let's do this. Let's do another podcast. And so I've known you for a little bit, but it just seems like your situation, I can't get my head around it, you know? Like, I came from a small town in New Jersey. I studied really hard to get into college. I did that. I worked on reality shows when that came out. But I always kind of kept a little ear to the conspiracy. And your story, where it's like, I used to think that everyone in these bloodline families was set up forever. It's like, you're good. You're in the family. You're in the fold. They're going to take care of you and nurture you and groom you to be like Trump's kid. Like, you will rule the surface one day, little, you know, Baron Trump, you know? But then... the more I listen to it, it just seems like a den of people backstabbing each other and not collaborating whatsoever.
Pretty much.
And if it's all about the bloodline, you got that going for you. But it's almost like you're getting discriminated against because you're like a test tube baby or something.
No, I'm being discriminated against for independent thought. That's more on the mark.
Mm.
In this case.
you challenge them, and then you perform well. And perform well, I mean summon ghosts.
Perform well, be initiated, and shoot to 32nd within 6 months.
And how did that happen? You just went through the coursework.
I was just naturally gifted.
What do you mean by that?
Well, it's intense memorization, so I memorize quickly.
So you just made it like a play. You have to go through all the rituals.
Exactly. I'd been through theater professionally, yeah. So I broke it down like a script in my head. And
you just have to recite the right words at the right time to
right.
get into the next level.
Yeah, one line of dialogue cues the next. Yeah, it's like
and
that.
They play music and they walk you down?
Well, depending on the manpower in the town and the lodge on hand in the moment, maybe there will be a pianist, or if you're lucky, a pipe organist, but most cases never, nothing. Because, you know, their talent's running dry. The well is running dry.
Now, you went through the lodge in the ritual room, right? But then there's also on the second floor, there's a little room here. On the third floor, there's after-hours activities in well-equipped lodges. Like, almost like what I imagine the Magic Castle is like on Franklin.
Well, the building in Dallas, I know for a fact, is, you know, the higher you go on a floor, the darker the shit gets, yeah.
You know, if you are
by floor three, you're into level of dead bodies, and then floor four, you're into level of portals and weird shit, so yeah.
There's this building that always blew my mind on Carondelet Street in New Orleans. That is a Hilton, but I noticed in the corner, it has a cornerstone of the Masonic Hall. And it's like a 33-story building. And you're going, wait a minute, the Masons had a 33-story building in the most expensive part of New Orleans, and this building was built for this purpose? I thought it was more like a one big ritual room where everyone gets initiated in the same way on some, it looks like a checkerboard, like a chessboard, and there's columns in the corner, and you recite the words from the book, and then you're degreed into the different levels. But I also visited Scientology, and I was raised Catholic. Everyone goes in the same pews and listens to the priest, right? That's how the religion was. But in Scientology, it's like a campus. There's all these little rooms with one-on-one things. Like, so then I look at this building that's like an office building. Like, yeah, sure, there's a ritual room on the main floor. But then there's a honeycomb of other things where people are probably setting up a rotator and then putting somebody, strapping them to a rotator and spinning them at a certain way and having them astral project. Oh, that's astral projection, floor 18. Oh, the x-ray glasses, yeah, they're working on that. That's Dr. Schumer and B36. Good luck with that. Oh, DARPA? Yeah, the Regina Dugan is going to Mars in a second with Bishago. Hang on. She's on the phone, though. I mean, what the fuck is happening there? You were in one of these buildings. What's going on in all those rooms?
Yeah. Things that they... I don't know. Everything. All of it. They do their fucking business. They'll show up there for the fuck of it at, you know, 7, 8 in the morning and use the facilities for their own private big business crap. And I guess, you know, if you're not one and you're having to deal with them, that's pretty intimidating. You have to go there, you know, and sit in one of those formal rooms in that building. And
they flex power in that building.
Oh, God. They whip it out on the table like a cock. Mm. Yeah, it's revolting. Yeah.
Is that also a way to recruit rival business people?
But what kinds are you recruiting when you act like that? You're getting all the Billy Bushes of the world, the douchebags, the...
And we are live on the Rockefeller Show with the esteemed... I'm very privileged to have this esteemed royal guest. His name is His Imperial Highness, Grand Prince Kirk Spencer, who is related to Princess Diana and is a royal bloodline and is part of the Order of the Illuminati, and he is also part of the White Dragon Society, as am I, and he has their loyal protection and brotherhood. And do you want to say hi, your Highness, Kirk?
Why does bad stuff happen? Because these people who are willing to do bad stuff to get ahead, you know, make it happen. It's a simple thing.
There's a show called Kenny vs. Benny, and the guy Kenny is hilarious, but he sabotages, he booby traps everything. He cheats, but he wins, because in the moment that he reveals his victory, I don't know. It's just a hilarious show, but when you cheat, you win in a stupid...
Well, it would be really nice if society could shift back toward, you know, something that favors people who do not cheat and steal and lie.
The rule of law?
Yeah.
What does it look like when you summon an entity? And what's the clearest thing that has appeared in the room before you? That's the reason why you're getting these phone calls from Michael Rockefeller, because you're able to do this. What do these things look like? Are they different manifestations of consciousness that everyone
well, they don't look like, it's not like a hologram pops up or a vapor shoots in and something forms physically that you can like go, oh look, take it a picture. You know, it's energies. And they either conduct or they don't. And there's maybe you could say side effects that come off of all this that maybe they could enjoy in the short term for like, we'll say a high. That analogy, but you know, or well, to go a little deeper, maybe they would be able to personally, you know, kind of go on that LSD trip and go around and tinker around and play, and you know, where they normally can't with their consciousness. Yeah, but that requires someone who's able to make that happen, and they can't.
So you're saying that the Masonic Lodge, its purpose is to expand consciousness.
Yeah, but only for them. Because why do that for the profane?
So there's these electric, these moments of inspiration that are shot into the
Well, initiates. Again, what is each degree? What is each one of those? That's a ritual. What's going on? You're opening a circle. There's things that the right stuff is there. Right, people are there, then you know you'll get perhaps some effect,
and it raises your vibration, which raises your status in society.
I guess so. I mean, look, if what I did for them in the past wasn't good enough or still lasting, obviously they need someone there to do it, because why does my phone still melt down with all
but,
of that?
But if it's a club that has perfected the art form of human perfection, then why aren't all their people at the top place, and why are they in such disarray where they don't know what's going on, and why are they losing 10 members a day?
Well, because again, they're not qualified to be over that which they are. They're not capable of running it. They're not capable of solving any of the problems that they came into it with, let alone what's happened. And They're just totally inept. Totally inept. They couldn't fucking find their way out of a paper bag, these guys.
That's why I always say, like, I live in the real world. You know, I went to school, I work hard, you know, I'm trying to do everything. Like, I went to college, I went to grad school, I'm trying to do everything according to the book, and I feel like I get mad when it seems like people who are, like, ordained from the start, like the royal family, drives me crazy. Because it's like they're just by birthright, they just sit there and they get everyone's toil.
Yeah, no, there's no longer a point to
goes
that.
Goes to their lifestyle.
There's no longer a point to
huh?
that.
Huh? But can I just look at her schedule, though, for the week and add, like, mad shit to that? like, give some money to the, like, work in a soup kitchen, you lazy twat? What a welfare queen. Oh, I just own the house of this, and I own this. Oh, the Federal Reserve, I think that's on my balance sheet.
I think the argument continues to be that they're good for tourism. Well, if that was the case, then you could really, you know, cut the excess, trim the fat, and you could just shuck them all into Buckingham Palace instead of all these houses and palaces and castles, and you don't need any of that. Yeah. You just put them all there in Buck House, and
she should just get a townhouse-sized section that nobody gets to go in.
And if they're all in the same house together, the same palace, they're gonna fight like cats and dogs, and then just let the tourists come through and watch.
Yeah,
have like bulletproof glass, so there's no collateral
damage. Wizard-proof and lizard-proof glass.
Yeah, and just, you know,
just in case the Queen of England like manifests into a Draco reptilian form.
If that's what the argument is, that they're good for tourism, then there we go.
Just like in Costa Rica, they stay in there, they get plenty of tourists because people want to zip line through the jungles. The zip lines are as least invasive as possible, and they keep the jungle intact. So just like a zip line through the jungle, you should be able to watch the royals argue over who has more money.
Well,
I had this guy in my car called Big Slice, and he's a custom car designer, but also a bodyguard. And I drove him home from the airport, and he told me that he was bodyguarding from this one guy from the United Emirates. And they were in Vegas, and it was 3 in the morning. And his Shah was doing drugs and drinking all night. And then they walk by, and they see, like, a Lamborghini, like, above a slot machine rotating. And he goes just to the bodyguard, "I want to buy that," right? So then he goes, "All right." So he talks to the manager, and they go, "Oh, the finance people aren't here." And he goes, "No, I said fucking buy it with cash, you dumb fuck." And then they're like, "Oh, okay." So then they called the forklift guy, and they got it off the floor. He overpaid them. They named a price. He paid it. And then he drove that from Las Vegas to his house in Orange County and parked it, and it's been there ever since.
How fun.
And it's like, you know, I just, you know, if I'm just trimming the fat, if I'm just looking at, like, college debt, and then I look at this guy, it's like, okay, can't someone just go through the books and go, okay, well, college was hard, and they didn't get paid for it going to college, and they have debts. Let's just wipe that. Let's just trim the fat of this society and do something positive. Oh, medical debt? Yeah, let's just cancel that. Let's have free. But you have the wealth. We don't get those services so that one guy can park a Bugatti from Vegas to Los Angeles and never touch it again. It's like a holocaust of wasted resources on very dumb people.
Yes, it is.
Just inbred generational privileged. Do you want to close this podcast out with some more Mihel voicemails? Or
No. Okay. They'll know where to flip to, I'm sure.
He gave it some gusto, huh? Why is he so dramatic?
Why is any of it so dramatic? You know? I mean, look at it. My life is in a shambles, man. I don't know what to fucking do. Is very sad and is very worrisome for me. You know, and I'd like to get to somewhere where I could just, like, de-stress and not worry. But I don't know if that's ever going to happen. I don't know.
All right, well, let's close out this podcast. This has been another episode of The Highway Diary. I'm your host, Eric Hollerbach, with me, James Robert Wright. Please go to crusademedia.org.